Radio Prague News.
Huawei threatens court case if Czech agency does not withdraw warning. The Labour Ministry wants tougher measures for those exploiting foreign workers. And the Social Democrats have come out against the government district idea in Prague. Chinese tech giant Huawei has threatened to go to court if the Czech National Cyber and Information Security Agency does not cancel or adjust its warning against incorporating Huawei technology, the daily Deník N reports. The company has apparently stated this in letters sent to Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and Dušan Navrátil, the agency's director. Huawei has demanded an answer by February the 14th, and the government discussed the matter on Friday, but refused to release details. The threat of international arbitration follows the withdrawal by various government ministries from contracts with Huawei after the Czech cyber watchdog issued a warning in December against using Huawei technology in the state's critical infrastructure. The Ministry for Labour and Social Affairs is considering more regulation of agency employment. It also wants the Labour Office to have more powers to combat the exploitation of foreign workers, Minister Jana Maláčová told the Czech news agency on Friday. She said these measures were part of a larger set that will be included in an employment bill due to be published in the second quarter of this year. The minister also reacted to an investigative article published by German broadcaster Deutsche Welle, which reported on miserable conditions for migrant workers employed at a Czech company owned by Agrofert, a conglomerate founded by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš. Ms. Maláčová said the article could act as an incentive for an investigation by labour inspectors. Mr. Babiš has said the Deutsche Welle story was made up. Junior coalition partners, the Social Democrats, have come out against a plan by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš of ANO for the creation of a government district in Prague's Letňany. Novinky CZ reported this on Friday. The idea would involve moving state officials out of the city centre buildings. The Social Democrats have joined opposition parties in opposing the plan, with senior members saying it could threaten the historical locations currently housing ministries and that it needed to be analysed in more depth. The idea's chances were recently boosted after a meeting between the Prime Minister and Prague Mayor Zdeněk Hřib, where the latter said he would be willing to give such a project the green light if the government paid for some crucial investments in the city's infrastructure. While no agreement has yet been reached, Mr. Babiš has said that he wants to continue with the negotiations. While January's unemployment rates were still the lowest since 1997, the Labour Office reports that the number of people without work has increased to 3.3%. Analysts expected this increase due to seasonal factors. However, the numbers are higher by one decimal point than their projections indicated. Economists do not expect another major decrease in unemployment like that seen in 2018. Furthermore, the growth in vacancies is also projected to go down this year. Despite increases in the past 2 months, unemployment levels in 2019 are expected to continue being very low and to fall below 3% with the onset of spring. This trend is also expected to put further pressure on employers to increase wages. The Czech National Bank has lowered its surplus predictions for the public finances in 2019 and 2020. In November, officials said the surplus should reach 1.3% this year. However, they have now revised the figure to 1.2%. Meanwhile, the central bank has reduced its surplus estimate for next year by 2 percentage points. Overall growth predictions for the Czech economy in 2019 have also been cut to 2.9%, 4 decimal points lower than the November forecast. Government debt is still very low in the Czech Republic compared to its Visegrad 4 neighbours. In 2017, it stood at 34.6%, more than 15% lower than in Slovakia and nearly 40% behind that of Hungary. Three times Olympics winner Martina Sáblíková triumphed at the women's 3,000-metre race at the World Speed Skating Championship in Insel in Germany. It is the fifth world title for Sáblíková in the 3,000-metre event. The 31-year-old Czech finished with a time of 3 minutes and 58 seconds, coming ahead of Antoinette de Jong of the Netherlands and Russia's Natalia Voronina. 22-year-old Czech hopeful Markéta Davidová took the silver at the World Cup biathlon event in Canmore, Canada, on Friday. The gold went to Trill Eckhoff of Norway, who crossed the line in 36.32.9 minutes, 9.8 seconds ahead of Davidova. Italy's Lisa Vitozzi took the bronze. Davidova is currently leading the overall World Cup ranking in the women's individual competition. And as far as the weather is concerned, the sudden rush of warmer weather will continue this weekend, with temperatures on Saturday set to lie around 7 degrees and Sunday reaching as high as 10 degrees Celsius in central Bohemia. Rain, however, is expected in eastern and western Bohemia. That is all the news for now.
Hi there, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech Foreign Minister discusses a planned mission to Washington this month. We preview the country's top cross-country skiing event and look back at the history of Jizerská padesátka. And later, we look at the process under which a Czech president can be removed from office. All that's coming up in today's program here on Radio Prague. The Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, Tomáš Petříček, is due to visit Washington this month to discuss bilateral and global issues with the US Secretaries of State and Defense and President Trump's National Security Advisor. Cybersecurity issues, not least concerning Chinese telecoms giant Huawei, are high on the Czech agenda. So too is securing an invitation to the White House, as Brian Kennedy reports.
In an interview ahead of his three-day trip to Washington starting on February 20th, the first by a Czech foreign minister in 7 years, Tomáš Petříček said he hopes to strengthen ties and expand bilateral cooperation in foreign policy and defense, but also business, not least regarding new technologies where the Czechs excel. However, Czech media speculate that the meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo came about due to the hard line Prague has taken against Huawei implementing 5G infrastructure, a priority issue for Donald Trump, who perceives China in general as an adversary. Asked directly about Huawei, Minister Petříček told Czech radio that the agenda for talks had not been finalized yet. This is due to happen on Friday. But the possible security threat posed by using Chinese technology was not being taken lightly and certain to be discussed.
This will certainly be a topic on the table. I note that for consumers, this is not a fundamental threat, but the state must protect critical infrastructure. The warning issued by our National Cybernetics and Information Security Office in December is quite serious. We're addressing the risks, and there are many measures on the part of the Americans that I hope to learn more about.
The head of that office, Dušan Navratil, has noted that its warnings that ministries and other government organs not use Huawei technology are legally binding, and he says he expects Chinese companies to be disqualified from upcoming sensitive state tenders. On the EU level, Reuters reports that the European Commission is considering a de facto ban on Huawei's 5G technology. Apart from addressing such cybersecurity issues, Minister Petříček said that while in Washington, he will lobby for another bilateral meeting of even greater importance, if only symbolically, to take place soon.
For many years, no bilateral meeting has taken place at the very highest level. This could contribute greatly to a deepening of Czech-US relations, so I will appeal for an invitation to the White House at the highest level in the near future.
Pressed to clarify whether he expected the Czech president or prime minister receive such an invitation, if extended, Minister Petříček said that it was up to the Americans, but probably it would be Prime Minister Andrej Babiš. As is befitting his office, the minister was probably only being diplomatic. Observers note that while President Miloš Zeman was the only European head of state to publicly support Donald Trump when still a presidential candidate, he has also publicly championed the cause of Huawei and is considered to be a loyal friend to the Chinese.
That report was by Brian Kennedy. Thousands of skiers are now heading to the Jizera Mountains in North Bohemia to take part in the Jizerská padesátka cross-country skiing race. The competition, now in its 52nd year, began on Friday with a 30-kilometre event and culminates on Sunday with its main 50-kilometre race. Ruth Frankova has more.
The Izerska Padesatka is unquestionably one of the most popular mass sporting events in the country, attracting both professionals and amateur skiers from all around the world. Jaroslav Haupt, who turned 80 last year, has been taking part in the race for several decades.
A friend of mine who took me to the race for the first time some 40 or 50 years ago has already gone to skiing heaven. These skis are all that I have left of him. I was given them by his son for a keepsake. And now I have tears in my eyes because this is really emotional.
Mr. Haupt, who started taking part in the Jizerska Padesatka in his early 30s to overcome a difficult experience in his life, says the race is more than a sporting event.
Of course it is a lifestyle. It is mostly about friends. There's a different story behind each race, and each race has its peculiar atmosphere.
What is today the biggest event of its kind in the Czech Republic actually started as a bet between friends, says one of the main organizers of the event, David Doša.
Just like many great ideas in the Czech Republic, the idea for the Jizerska Padesatka was born in a pub, and it is the result of a bet between mountaineers from the Jizerska Lokomotiva Club. They were arguing about who can make it faster from Bedřichov to Jizerka and back. The first race took place in February 1968. There were 52 participants, and the starting fee was just 5 crowns. Those who made it to the finish got warm tea and biscuits.
Despite its rather humorous beginnings, the Jizerska Padesatka is linked to a tragic event. In 1970, 15 of its co-founders took part in a mountain climbing exhibition to conquer the highest peak of the Peruvian Andes, Mount Huascarán. On the way to the top, they were all killed by an avalanche triggered by a severe earthquake. From then on, the Jizerska Padesatka has officially become the memorial to the expedition. The long-distance race enjoyed its heyday in the 1970s and 80s. In recent years, interest in the race had grown again. Some 7,300 people attended the event in 2018, and this year their number is expected to be even higher, says David Doša.
Dá se říct, že omezení neexistují, může se zúčastnit každý, kdo aspoň trochu umí na běžkách.
Basically, anyone can take part in the race. There are no limits, as long as you can stand on your skis. The Jizerska Padesatka is no longer just one race. There are altogether 7 events, including a race for children over the age of 4. The oldest participant to ever take part was over 90. There are only about 120 to 130 professional skiers taking part in the races these days. The rest are enthusiastic amateurs.
Naprostou většinu tvoří právě ty nadšení amatéři.
The race has always attracted people from other parts of the world. In recent years, foreigners make up around 25% of all the participants. Most of them come from Germany, Poland and Scandinavia, but there are also skiers who travel from further away.
The longest distance someone traveled to take part in the Jizerska Padesatka was 15,000 kilometers from New Zealand. Last year we had a participant from Cape Verde, but we also have Japanese, Canadians and Americans.
One of the biggest challenges the organizers of the Jizerska Padesatka have been facing over the years are unpredictable weather conditions. The race had to be cancelled altogether 5 times due to lack of snow. This season, however, organizers are reporting excellent conditions and thousands of skiers have already started flocking to the small town of Bedřichov, which is the starting point of the famous race. Among them will definitely be Jaroslav Haupt, last year's winner of the over 80 category, who shared with Radio Prague his recipe for success.
Když člověk blbě namaže, tak je důležitá kondička, jo.
If you don't wax your skis well, you need to be in good shape. But if you do wax them well, you will always reach the finish, even if you are out of shape.
A nemáš kondičku, tak to nějak dojedeš.
And that report is by Ruth Franková. A group of Czech senators recently accused President Miloš Zeman of gross violation of the Constitution and began drafting an official bill of impeachment. However, the chances of the Liberal Senator 21 group finding the support they need to force out the head of state seems extremely slim. So why is it so hard to remove a Czech president? Vít Pohanka has been finding out.
Some opposition lawmakers blame President Miloš Zeman and his office for interfering in courts. A legal analysis compiled by the NGO platform State Reconstruction or Rekonstrukce státu puts the blame squarely on President's Chancellor Vratislav Mynář. He allegedly tried to influence judges in key courts to take decisions on cases relating to the office of the president or in which President Miloš Zeman had a vested interest. Liberal Senator Václav Láska told the Czech radio that this is just the proverbial last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Ono, když si vezmete jednotlivé skutky pana prezidenta,
when you take only the individual actions of the president, you may come to the conclusion that, on their own, these actions are on the edge of constitutionality. But when you describe 20 such actions together, then it enables you to state that the president does that on purpose, that his intention is to violate the constitution, that he does not respect the constitution. We would like to include all such actions that potentially violate the constitution in our bill of indictment. Some of them will be quite serious, such as infringement of judicial independence. Others might help build supporting arguments.
Takže my těch skutků máme teď v tuto chvíli vytipováno. Možná k 20, možná víc.
We are now working on a list of such actions. There are some 20 of them, but we are not finished yet. Once we complete the list, we will make it public and discuss it with constitutional law experts. We will decide which of the actions are grave violations, and we will argue that the president continuously acts against the constitution.
But in order to send the charges against the president to the constitutional court, the rebels in the Senate would need 3/5 of the vote in both houses of the parliament. It is extremely unlikely that they will get that kind of support. Notwithstanding, another liberal senator, Tomáš Goláň, defends the meaning of this political move.
Proto abychom věděli, zda už tohle je to, co prostě překračuje nějaké hranice, anebo ještě ne.
We are doing this to find out whether the president has really crossed the boundaries of constitutionality or not. We are doing this for the future. We want our future presidents to know what the boundaries of their actions are.
Už věděli, kde jsou nějaké mantinely.
No Czech president has ever been formally challenged in this way. The constitution even states, quote, "The president of the republic shall not be responsible for the performance of his duties," unquote. Why is it necessary to have such a formulation included in the basic legal document of the country? I asked Professor Jan Kysela, leading constitutional expert at Charles University in Prague.
Potřebná není, protože najdete ústavy jak v naší minulosti, tak v zahraničí, kde s takovou formulací nepracujete.
No, such a formulation isn't necessary. You can find constitutions both in our country and in other countries that don't include such a sentence. What matters is the purpose. It says, in other words, that you can't dismiss a president simply because you don't like his policies. That's the meaning of this particular line in the Constitution.
Naopak vláda je odpovědná poslanecké sněmovně, což vede k tomu důsledku.
It's the government that answers to Parliament, namely the Chamber of Deputies. If the lower house doesn't like the government's actions, deputies can remove the cabinet. So it depends on what the authors of the Constitution want, whether they want the president to be held politically responsible and impeachable for his or her policies. The Czech Constitution continues in the tradition all the way back to the Austrian-Hungarian monarchy, whose constitution stated that the sovereign couldn't be held politically responsible. That's why we have the same principle in all of our constitutions, with one important exception, under communism, between 1960 and
1992.
That doesn't mean, however, that the president or his office are legally untouchable. Article 65 of the Constitution states that the president can be charged with high treason or gross violation of the Constitution.
Let's clarify what we're talking about here. When we talk about responsibility in the context of the Constitution, it's necessary to make clear what we mean by that. So far, we've been talking about political responsibility. But there is the other side of the same coin, legal responsibility. So if the president violates or neglects a certain legal duty, we have a mechanism to hold him or her responsible. In other words, we also have the institution of impeachment, as the English-speaking world knows it. In the Czech system, this procedure can be initiated by the Senate in the case of high treason or gross violation of the Constitution.
So is this a kind of a special legal procedure reserved for someone as special as the President of the Republic? He is, after all, the head of the state, chosen by all citizens eligible to vote.
Exactly. It's a special case of legal action against the president that can be initiated in the case of high treason or gross violation of the Constitution. If we look, for example, at the United States Constitution, it also allows the initiation of an impeachment process on the grounds of the president committing high treason. It differs from the Czech Constitution in that the same process can be started for any alleged felony committed by the president. That's something the Czech Constitution doesn't have.
To, v čem se lišíme, je, že už neponecháváme to řízení čistě na parlamentní půdě ve Spojených státech, žaluje sněmovna reprezentantů a soudí senát.
Another difference between the US and Czech constitutions is that in America, the House of Representatives starts the process of impeachment and the Senate gives the final verdict. In the Czech Republic, the procedure is started by the Senate and confirmed by 3/5 of the vote. Then the Chamber of Deputies has to agree by the same majority. But the verdict itself is not issued by the Parliament. Our modern constitution takes the final decision away from legislators and gives it to the Constitutional Court. That's the institution charged with the defence of the Constitution and with deciding if the President has grossly violated it.
There is a fine example of a situation in which an American president nearly lost his office and in which no Czech president would find himself even threatened by a hostile parliament. And that was the Lewinsky affair. Let's take a moment and step back to 1998. The then United States President Bill Clinton first very publicly denied that he had had any intimate contacts with a young White House interim called Monica Lewinsky.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie. Not a single time. Never. These allegations are false.
But in the following months, new revelations came to light, and President Clinton finally had to tell the truth.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part, for which I am solely and completely responsible. I misled people, including even my wife. I deeply regret that.
And because Bill Clinton effectively lied under oath, the House of Representatives voted to impeach him on the grounds of perjury and obstruction of justice. A little later, the Senate acquitted him. As Professor Kysela explains, such a case would never make it so far in the Czech constitutional system.
U nás je vyloučeno stíhání za trestné činy, ať už stíhání kýmkoliv.
In our country, anybody charging the president for any criminal act is out of the question. The American solution is the president committed a crime, so he or she will face the consequences. The case, however, will not be tried by an ordinary court, but a special court in the Senate. The penalty can't be prison time, but the potential loss of office, impeachment. In the Czech Republic, you can only charge the president with high treason or gross violation of the Constitution. Then, in concrete cases, it has to be argued whether the president's actions really constitute those crimes, because the terms themselves are relatively hazy.
America aside, how easy, or rather difficult, is it to impeach the president in the Czech Republic compared to other Central European countries?
Když byste se třeba díval do Rakouska, když byste se díval na Slovensko nebo do některých jiných středoevropských zemí.
Let's take Austria, Slovakia or some other Central European countries and their constitutions as examples. They define the responsibilities of the president in a similar way as we do in the Czech Republic. They also include charges of high treason and gross violation of the constitution as potential reasons for his removal from office. However, in Austria and Slovakia, the constitution also makes it possible to hold the president responsible for his or her policies. If the parliament doesn't like them, they can initiate impeachment, even though it's a rather complex process that includes a general vote. The reason for this is that if the people elected the president, only the people can remove him or her from office. In both cases, the impeachment is started by the parliament.
O tomhle se u nás velice, řekl bych marginálně, diskutovalo při zavádění přímé volby prezidenta republiky.
We had rather marginal discussions about this possibility when we were introducing the direct election of the president, but this idea was abandoned. Simultaneously, the constitution made it much harder to charge the president. Before 2013, you needed a simple majority of the vote in the Senate only. Since March 2013, you need not only three-fifths of the vote in the Senate, but the same number of votes in the Chamber of Deputies. It's extremely unlikely that you'll find such support. Perhaps it would be possible in some extreme situations, where it would be quite clear that the president committed outrageous acts of high treason or violated the constitution. But we aren't in such a situation, at least not yet.
Ale tam tedy nejsme.
Profesor Jan Kysela, leading Czech constitutional expert. So there may be a bill of impeachment being prepared by a group of Czech senators, but it doesn't look like the president, Miloš Zeman, needs to lose any sleep over it. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for on today's program. Please send any comments you may have to english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us, of course, on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and everybody here at Radio Prague, thank you very much indeed for listening, folks, and speak to you soon.